Hello and welcome back to the Pinsent Masons podcast, keeping you up to date with the most important developments in business law every second Tuesday. My name's Matthew McGee and I'm a journalist here at Pinsent Masons, and this week we get to the bottom of why authorities are demanding that energy companies improve their cybersecurity. But first, here's some business law news from around the world. Australian businesses must act on fuel cost orders, rules on high-risk AI to be delayed under EU omnibus deal, and FCA reviews claims management sector in significant intervention. Businesses in a road transport contractual chain in Australia, including retailers, logistics companies, construction contractors, transport providers and waste management companies, must act now to assess their obligations under the Fair Work Commission's fuel cost order. In April, in a response to rising fuel costs due to conflict in the Middle East, the FWC issued a road transport contractual chain order that imposes cost of fuel-related pay adjustment obligations for contracts or arrangements concerning the performance of work in the road transport industry. The order requires a fortnightly review of what companies pay for the performance of works to ensure that those performing works are not left out of pocket for an increase in the cost of fuel. However, because of the way the order has been worded and the complex web of contracts involved, businesses face difficulties in interpreting how it applies to them and in implementing its requirements. EU rules regarding AI systems categorised as high risk will take effect from late 2027, not this summer, if a new deal struck by legislators is adopted in the coming weeks. The high-risk AI regime is one of the most significant features of the EU AI Act, imposing obligations on providers, deployers, importers and distributors of high-risk AI in relation to risk management, data quality, transparency, human oversight and accuracy. Under the provisional agreement the institutions have struck, which still has to be formally ratified, the rules applicable to standalone high-risk AI systems would apply from December 2027 rather than August this year, while the rules regarding high-risk AI systems embedded in products would apply from August 2028. The planned delay is designed to provide more time for EU policymakers to formulate standards, tools and guidelines to help businesses meet their obligations under the new regime. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority has opened a formal review of the claims management market in a step that could lead to legislative reforms. According to the regulator, the review has been driven by concerns that consumers are being failed by a number of claims management companies and law firms involved in the claims industry. It said it will collaborate with the Solicitors Regulation Authority and other regulators. Financial regulation expert Jonathan Cavill said the review is significant. He said, "Its scope, covering lead generation, marketing, fee structures, regulatory perimeter issues, and end-to-end consumer journeys, means that virtually every participant in the claims management supply chain will need to take stock." Right now, an energy crisis looks like constrained supply and soaring prices at petrol pumps. But believe it or not, it could be worse. Imagine if our energy networks and generation were disrupted not by conflict and interrupted supply, but by a full-blown cyber attack. Imagine having no electricity at all for a time, as suppliers or network operators were held to ransom by attackers. Picture all the systems governing our everyday lives being without power. The ramifications would be enormous. And this isn't pie in the sky. Attacks are already happening. IBM's annual report on cyber threats says that AI is turbocharging the number and efficacy of attacks, and that 8% of all cyber attacks are aimed at energy companies or infrastructure. It's a scary prospect, which is why governments and regulators are increasingly involved. The latest change is happening in the UK, where energy companies look likely to be subjected to even greater scrutiny of their cybersecurity safeguards. The government and the energy regulator Ofgem are planning to increase the number of companies caught by regulation and the number subjected to the most stringent regulation in a new consultation, as London-based cybersecurity expert Stuart Davey explains.
So the current cyber regulations in the UK in the energy sector go back to 2018. and the Network and Information Systems Regulations, the NIS regulations. And at the moment, only those organisations caught by the NIS regulations have a positive obligation to put in place cybersecurity measures in the energy sector. And the NIS regulations capture what are known as operators of essential services. And the thinking back in 2018 was to target those large providers and large operators of assets in the energy sector.
Imagining that bleak picture of a society shut down by energy blackouts explains why the cybersecurity of energy companies is regulated at all. But why is that regulation being increased now? Stuart says it's because of changes in how we generate and distribute energy, where new approaches bring new vulnerabilities.
There has been a significant change and shake-up of the energy sector. And as the UK moves towards delivering against the government's Clean Power 2030 ambitions, there are a load of new operators coming into the energy sector with new battery storage capacity being brought on stream, new wind, new solar capacities. And so there is a desire to ensure that the operators of those new assets and the much more diversified, wider energy ecosystem that contains many more operators than previously was the case, that there's an appropriate level of cybersecurity for those wider range of organisations. One of the other reasons for this is just increasing digitalisation, increasing number of operators, increasing number of entities involved in the wider ecosystem. So that's why the government is keen to ensure that there are cybersecurity measures in place beyond what is already regulated for.
So what exactly is changing? Stuart says that all companies will be expected to reach a certain baseline level of compliance with cybersecurity standards, and the number of companies expected to meet the highest standards will increase. And he says it won't be cheap.
They're proposing to do that in two ways, one of which is seeking views in this consultation about whether the current thresholds for what is an operator of essential services are the right ones. So that might involve, for example, reducing or bringing down the thresholds, the generation thresholds, the transmission thresholds, or changing to encompass other parts of the downstream gas electric ecosystem to class as essential services. With regulation comes much higher standards, and broadly that involves at its highest level alignment to the NCSC cyber assessment framework and the enhanced profile that Ofgem now expects organisations to be working towards. The additional limb being proposed is that for those organisations that don't meet the current thresholds or any amended thresholds, should there be effectively a baseline level of cybersecurity put in place? And the current proposal would involve the baseline being the cyber essentials CE certification, whether that's the baseline CE or Cyber Essentials Plus, which involves an additional layer of independent verification. It may well be that organisations that actually have got a very mature cyber policies and cyber measures, that the uplift to get to what is being demanded by the regulators may not be as significant as it is for perhaps organisations that are less mature and have got more work to do. But the consultation documents give some indicative costs that broadly they might expect, so one-off costs per controller, thought to be between 110,000 to 130,000 as one-off costs, and then annual costs of more like 200,000.
The whole picture of cybersecurity regulation across the whole economy is changing in the UK as the Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill makes its way through the Parliament there. And Stuart says that these changes are tied up with the ones in energy, so won't take effect for up to a year. So what should companies do now to prepare? Stuart says complying with existing laws, even if you're not obliged to yet, would be a good start.
We work with a number of organisations that are in exactly the space of not yet in scope, but maybe because they are bringing more generation capacity online, for example, or they're acquiring new assets. And they should therefore be looking towards what the requirements will be if they are brought in scope and working on their improvement plans to start to show that they can demonstrate compliance with what will be expected, because these are complex processes and they take time to make the changes that will require to be able to demonstrate compliance. For those organizations that are likely to be within scope of the NIS regulations as they currently are or amended, well, what the consultation is doing is demonstrating the expectation of the regulator that no matter the size of the organization, if you are licensed by Ofgem, there will be an expectation to have baseline cyber security measures in place, and that will be tied to the relicensing process. And so if that is the direction of travel, then it would be sensible for those organizations to start to consider or review their cyber posture, look at the cyber essentials and cyber essentials plus certifications, and start that journey. And what is being proposed for that level is not to put in place significant or onerous additional requirements, but to have in place the measures to enable these organizations to defend themselves against the most common cyber threats. And so you could take it, regardless of what the regulator is expecting, that's a prudent thing to do in this day and age of increased levels of cyber attack.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in, for reviewing, recommending, passing it on to colleagues, and for every minute you spend with us. We know you're under time pressure and we really appreciate it. Remember, you can get your news in a weekly personalised digest at pinsonmasons.com/newsletter, or you can just look at pinsonmasons.com every day to read the global business law coverage produced by our team of reporters, containing all the expertise of our colleagues all over the world. So until next time, thank you and goodbye. The Pinsent Masons podcast was produced and presented by Matthew McGee for international professional services firm Pinsent Masons.